We're back on In Focus, News Radio, KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined today by Dee McKee, Pottawatomie County Commissioner, and Jared Barnes, Fire Supervisor in Pottawatomie County. And we're talking fire issues right now and prevention primarily. That's always the key issue. I know you recently had Fire Prevention Week, and you know, that's a big topic here in the month of October.
Absolutely. This year's theme was Not Everyone Wears a Cape, Plan and Practice Your Escape Route. And, you know, with all the talk that we've had before about, you know, the wildland fires and things like that, you know, for the Fire Prevention Week, they were talking about making an escape route out of your home. But, you know, even people who live, you know, out in the country, you know, in those cedar groves like we were talking about, they really need to make sure they have more than one way out of their property. You know, if there's a fire coming and they get blocked off on their normal route of travel, they don't want to be stuck back in there without an escape route. So, you know, I kind of extend that out to say, you know, make sure that even through your property, you have two ways out. With this flooding, I think we saw that some people, even along the lake, you know, they had to have a second way to get out of their property and get in. And you know, it just makes good sense overall.
Yeah, you don't want to be somewhere where you're going to get stuck,
right?
And be able to have a safe route out. You know, we're almost at the time change. Also, this is always a good time of year to change your batteries in your smoke detector.
Absolutely. You know, we always say change your clock, change your batteries every six months or so. When that time change happens, it's just a good reminder to get it done. You know, those batteries they can use for something else, but, you know, the smoke detector is a critical thing, and a lot of people don't realize how critical it is. I don't have the statistics with me, but there's a lot of people who perish in fires every year, and those smoke detectors work. They really do.
The Red Cross had a giveaway program for that through the fire department. Does that still exist if you can't afford a fire alarm that they would, our guys were putting them in Blue Township?
Well, yes, and throughout Pottawatomie County, if somebody's in need of smoke detectors, they can go through our health department, and that's kind of our anchor, and then they can get that disseminated out to the area fire department that needs it. And Pottawatomie County, we're spread out quite a ways, and we have multiple fire departments, so they can make sure that the right department or station gets that smoke detector and gets it installed for folks.
They do the installation, keep the record. So it helps. If you don't have one, talk to the health department and ask for help on it.
All right, and they can get you taken care of. You know, planning's a big part of a lot of things here with prevention. There's also the Kansas Wildlife Fire Action Plan, which I know you wanted to talk about.
Right. The Kansas Forest Service, the International Association of Fire Chiefs, and Kansas State University, and the Kansas State Fire Marshal's Office, they put together this Kansas Wildland Fire Action Plan. It's a Ready, Set, Go guide, and it has a lot of things in there to help people prepare for wildland fire, not just preparing their property, but also making sure their livestock, you know, they have a plan for their livestock and things like that. You know, some of the things I've learned since I've been in Pottawatomie County that I thought were just ingenious ideas. You know, I've met people who feed their cattle along a fence line, and you know, when they feed their cattle along that fence line, those cattle, they tromp down that ground, but they also eat the grass along with the hay that they're feeding. Well, in the spring, that's the first area that greens up, and it creates a fire barrier. And you know, I'd never thought of that, but I thought it was a great way to make sure that, you know, there's a stop for the fire.
I want to add, after seeing Paradise and seeing those things, there's also a handout that comes from emergency service about have a bag, have some IDs in it, have your medicines in it, and so on. If something comes up, that you can go out of there, and if, as they experienced in many places, if everything burns up and you want to get money out of the bank, maybe in the rural areas you're getting taken care of, but the truth is you're limited in everything for quite a few days, and you can't get the prescriptions back if they're gone, and so people should just in general be prepared for that kind of disaster in such a way, whether it's a tornado or anything, that they've got one bag that has basic supplies and things kind of together and some shoes and could happen in the middle of the night. That's what happened to them. They didn't have things they needed and they didn't have any way to exit. So thinking ahead, take care of yourself. We'll try to take care of them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you're right. That is an ingenious idea there with the barriers there. And that's kind of a natural thing that you can do here on your property.
Yes, yeah. You know, short grass around your house, along your fence lines, things like that, that greens up quicker. And so that creates kind of a natural fire break.
And I know there's some different rules living in the city limits, living out in the county. People have a lot of stuff on their property, whether that be, extra cars and any other number of things on their property. It's maybe a good idea to keep that not so cluttered and clean it up.
Anything that's combustible needs to be away from buildings, whether it be a pile of wood or, the tall grass, leaves, things like that. Around buildings, people need to keep grass short, keep the vegetation away. 100 feet is the recommendation. And really, if you go out further than that, then, that's even better.
I thought about my question here that I was going to ask you earlier, and this is regarding harvest season. Do you guys respond to a lot of calls during harvest season?
Sometimes we do, and that's another good thing to bring up. We do get calls during harvest season. Sometimes bearings give out on equipment and things, and balers sometimes catch fire. So those are things that we do respond to. That's those farmers and ranchers' livelihoods. So I know they do the best they can to keep that stuff lubed up and clean, but really that's what has to happen to keep those things from failing, and sometimes they still will. But we sometimes get combine fires, baler fires, things like that, and that makes it very difficult because we're trying to get out there where they're at, and they're trying to get those things, because that's their livelihood, get that put out. So
absolutely,
call us quick if that happens.
All right. Again, Jared Barnes, fire supervisor. Is there anything else fire related that you wanted to cover here today?
I think we've pretty much got it. It's just stay safe. Make sure you keep your place cleaned up. If you do want to burn in Pottawatomie County, we do have a burn permit system. So you can go online, pottcounty.org, and under the fire, you can apply online for a burn permit. That you don't need a burn permit to burn trash, but for everything else, we do require a burn permit. So go online, or you can call our office, and we will help you with that.
All right. Dee, I wanted to ask you some other things here that have been going on with the commission. Yesterday was kind of a unique meeting. We had the announcement of a commissioner stepping down. Travis Altenhoven announced his resignation.
Yes, he did. And his challenge is one of career, and he's been working with Manco, and evidently his supervisor had a great illness and passed away, and they've offered him the full-time position. I don't blame him for moving up to that point where it is, and so he came in and was, I think, a little bit overwhelmed by the giving it up after he'd been duly elected and representing people. He didn't want to fail them, but as his decision is one for long range, I certainly understand it and respect it. That will require that the electors in his district that are Republican will meet. They will be called to order by the chair of the county, and they will be the deciders of the replacement. It's not something where I just say to you, why don't you come on over. It still goes back to a political piece, and it's a good reason for people to understand right now why they should consider running in the appropriate times to be either a Democrat or a Republican precinct or township representative. Because when anybody who's elected by the general public steps down or passes away or has a major accident and cannot serve, it is the political party's electorates that are in those positions already. Nobody can be appointed to the empty ones, so there's 17 people that are going to decide his replacement from his district, and that will probably happen in the rush of December. His letter says that he would like to be permanently out. He sends it to the governor and has not had the response, but December or January 10th is his last day for service, and so that will make a change. And he was up for election for the following year, so that person will whoever it's selected will take over and then have to run in the following November, both position 2 and 3. I'm position 1, but the other 2 are up for election in a year. So it'll make a difference. We've had a lot of our more experienced people in our county come to retirement age, and somehow the challenges of county government wears them out. But we're doing quite a bit of change and interview, and there's quite a few jobs open in the county. If people are interested, they could go online and look at those different positions. And then, of course, the political positions for all of the cities, counties, and state government are all up next fall. I'm not sure I agree that the state should have put all of these elections in the fall like the city and the school boards, because they come in the middle of a budget this way when they're elected, and it also comes on top of the clerk's challenges, taxes, and all the other things that could have been a little bit easier. But local control on that's pretty difficult to achieve at this point.
So, his last day again, January 10th, what is there like a timetable of when someone might potentially replace him? It's not going to be right away, probably, on January 10th.
That would be up to the person. You know, if they have to do some kind of change or notice, I suppose it'd be 30 days or so before they might actually take office. It would be a negotiating between the party and them, and whatever works for them. We have to be gracious. We need a leader in there, but 2 people can carry government and continue on for a period of time. And that's happened in illnesses and so on before. So things will continue. But it was a surprise, although he had a lot of challenges of making any extra meetings besides Mondays for quite a while because of his professional obligation. And that makes it tough sometimes on the county to make sure we get feedback on all the things that are going on, our representation.
So I know Pat was vice chair. Pat Waxelman, is he going to be – will he assume the chair role, or how does that work?
We'll probably have a conversation. He would be the next person to step up. He has an upcoming election. A lot of times people don't want to be chair of the year of an election. So we'll talk about it. Okay. We'll do what we have to do. I guess that's what it is. But it makes things different right now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back more with Pottawatomie County Commission next here on News Radio KMAN.